empty.
You are listening to The Computer Guys, and I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin, and we're The Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology-related questions.
That's right, Kev. It's a beautiful Wednesday afternoon, if you like rain, and probably means you're inside or riding in your car listening to the radio, or I guess you could be listening to this podcast really at any time, anywhere.
That's
but,
right.
If you are listening live, the phone lines are open here, and as always, we'd love to hear from you. Our listeners pose us interesting and challenging questions, which we like. Or if you've got something that you might consider to be a dumb question, trust me, we've heard them all. So we'd love to help you out. Give us a call here, 395-1450. But we also realize that sometimes people are a little phone shy.
That's right, and that's why we check our email, and that is computerguys@whtc.com. We check that throughout the show as well as throughout the week. So if you have a question anytime during the week, go ahead, send it to us at computerguys@whtc.com, and we will do our best to get to it on the show.
And Kev, I'm even going to go out on a limb here and say the next 30 minutes will be politics free.
Hey, that's right.
We're only going to talk computers here.
That's right.
So if you,
and if you try and talk politics, we're probably going to dismiss your call.
We've got an 8-second delay and you're off the radio.
Boom, you're gone.
So give us a call here, 395-1450. Well, Kev, I said that we wouldn't talk politics, and technically I'm not going to. But okay. We had talked last week that Sarah Palin's email was hacked.
Yep.
Well, the person who did that is actually the son of a Democratic Tennessee state lawmaker, and so he is now under arrest.
Ooh.
He faces, he's an economics major, faces a maximum of 5 years in prison, a $250,000 fine, and a three-year term of supervised release. So pretty steep fines if you're out there and considering hacking into somebody's email account. Probably not advised to do that. I would probably find another way of, I don't know. He was doing it to try to be clever, but it could end up costing him here.
Yeah, kind of came back and bit him. I mean, if he would have hacked, you know, somebody who was a little more...
Right.
Low profile, may not have been an issue.
Ex-girlfriend,
yep.
Roommate.
Or even gone in and just looked at the emails.
Yeah.
But the distribution and postings, not a real good idea.
Yep. So that, and he's only 20 years old, so, you know, I guess live and learn. But
that's
at
right.
The same time, that was a Yahoo email address that he hacked into for Sarah Palin. So obviously it was probably a bad decision on his part. So that was one of the news bits here. Also, we've got an email here, computerguys@whtc.com. Subject is, why is my AVG 7.5 not updating? It says I have to restart. I have done that 2 times without success.
Hmm. Well, the first thing to know is they don't really support AVG 7.5 anymore. They really want you to upgrade. It's version 8 is the new one. And I'm pretty sure that would fix your problem. Short of that, you're probably going to want to uninstall and reinstall your 7.5 if you can find that old version. If you still have the file that you originally downloaded, otherwise, you know, do some scouring on the internet. I'm sure you could find an AVG 7.5 download. That'll probably fix your update issue, but as they're not really supporting the product, there's not a lot you can do. Uninstalling and reinstalling, if that doesn't do it, you're going to have to go to version 8.
And you know, version 8, it's a fine product.
It's a little slow.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole web page filtering thing is kind of annoying. Got to admit that.
But you can turn that off.
You can turn that off, but then it's always telling you, you're not fully protected.
No, see, I don't think it does anymore.
If you did the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
See, because I, you know, AVG, for our listeners who might not know, is a pretty decent free antivirus program out there for home or personal use. So if it's a business, you're not supposed to be running the free version. They do ask that you pay for that, but it the link scanner is, it slows down browsing a little bit.
Basically what that does is it kind of, anytime you load a page, any links in that page, it goes through and kind of checks them out and says, is this safe or is this not safe, and then marks them accordingly.
And so if you do a search on Google or Yahoo, it takes a little bit.
Yep.
I mean, we're not talking days here, but it's certainly something to consider. So why is my AVG 7.5 not updating? Start with reinstalling it if you have the original installation file. Otherwise, go to free.grisoff.com and you can get the newest version, version 8. So,
yeah, it's in this date as to when it has been cut off or supposed to have been cut off is it's kind of like a moving target because it was supposed to stop May 31st and then it was supposed to stop June 25. And then there's also another date of December 31, 2008. Mm. So when it's going to completely stop working altogether, I don't know, but it's only a matter of time before they completely cut it off. So
one other reason that AVG might not be updating, obviously the obvious ones, you're not connected to the internet.
I'm guessing they probably tried that already.
If they sent us an email, they probably are. Yeah. Also, the computer could be infected with a virus. Actually, a lot of times a virus or a spyware will get in there and disable updating or new updates or cause problems with ABG, Norton, McAfee, whatever it happens to be that you're using so that you can't get the updates to remove the problem that you're having.
Yep, that's right. So hopefully that answers your question. If not, give us a call back and we can, another email. If that was an email, that was an email.
That was, yes.
Hey, this is interesting. Independent labels are unhappy with MySpace music service. The new MySpace music service isn't striking a chord with everyone. Independent labels are unhappy with the statement or the agreement because it leaves them pretty much out of the picture. And what makes that a smart move for the indies is that MySpace rose to prominence because of independent labels. So it's kind of a little slap in the face. MySpace originally launched MySpace Music. This was about 2 weeks ago. Giving it roughly 120 million users free access to hundreds of thousands of songs from the biggest recording labels. Revenue from the MySpace music site will come mainly from on-site ads and the sales of songs through the Amazon.com-owned MP3 downloading service.
A lot of times, I think, when people hear MySpace, Kev, they have a negative reaction.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Doesn't necessarily have to be that way. MySpace, the interesting thing about MySpace that a lot of people don't know is it was originally created for artists to distribute their music. You know, it's now a social networking site and it's a lot of other things, but really when it got rolling, that's what it was, you know, it pioneered for.
Kev, do you have a MySpace account?
I don't. You do.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, that's technically I do because I don't have anything on it. I just had to because...
No, so you have an account though. I just want to clarify.
It's probably been a couple months.
Is it still active?
I have a Facebook account too. But
there you
go.
Look at you.
I don't have anything on my pages. It's because there are a couple times that people sent me to a link on their page, and in order to get into those, to really,
you know what I say,
you can set to.
I say no. I'm not signing up for your service. I don't care if you want to tell me about something. You tell me. You call me. I'll even accept an email, but I'm not going to your MySpace page. That's how I feel about it.
What about some of the other ones, like LinkedIn, for instance?
I don't play those games. And it's fine. Everybody is allowed to do whatever they want on the internet. That's why it's beautiful. But I'm not a part of that social networking thing. I don't go there.
What if a service, Kev, like LinkedIn, was able to help you do better networking with business contacts? Or
that's fine.
Would you sign up for it then?
I don't really want to.
Right. But I think that we could both agree that neither of us really have a lot of interest in putting up
I don't want to keep that content up there. Right. And part of it is, with those, you really need to update it frequently. I don't have time for that.
It's a lot of times what'll happen to a blog. For instance, blogs were really popular for quite some time. And blogs are still huge. You know, a lot of people use them. It's a good way to kind of communicate instead of email.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times you go to a blog. For instance, I was happened to go to a blog because somebody sent me to their website. I was looking for some information. It was a blog that was long, long out of date.
Okay. Like how many, couple months?
Well, it was funny because in the 2006, it was like a few times a month they were updating it, once a week, you know, and then 2007 and 2008 has just like fallen off. They don't even update it anymore.
Interesting you mentioned that. We got together with some friends this past weekend. They've got a blog. My wife checks it. You know, there's a handful of blogs she goes on a regular basis and checks, kind of see what's going on with these people. And she was just telling me the other day, she's like, I don't know what their deal is. They're just not updating that anymore. So we asked him this past weekend. He's like, I'm done. He's like,
so then they should take it off.
He's like, it just took too much time. I said, oh man, if you're going to do that, you got to post like a closing and say, hey, right, I'm done. Here's, you know, even if you don't take it down, at least let people know you're done with it so they don't bother to keep checking. So
I like the idea of blogs. It goes back to what you said. It just takes a lot of time to update it. And
Yep, and if you really enjoy that, that's great. I just don't really do that. So now I'm not. My wife maintains one, and she does a great job. And you know, I don't check it all that frequently. Sometimes I do. You know, often she'll tell me, "Hey, have you seen it?" And then I'll go look at it.
And some of the reasons that somebody would want to, for instance, have a blog for their personal use would be,
well, you know, to really, she's got, you know, one of her best friends now lives in the other side of the world. They don't really call, you know, email's one thing, but kind of to keep up on each other's lives, they both maintain them. And so she's talking about her experiences, my wife's talking about her experiences and thoughts. And, you know, the crazy thing about that is we went to a little reunion the other night, and there's somebody that she's kind of been in blog contact with. I mean, that's strictly it, is they post comments on each other's blogs. They weren't really friends in college. You know, they were acquaintances.
So they became blog friends.
They became blog friends. And the crazy thing is, after becoming blog friends, now they want to become real friends.
Really?
Yeah. So they were talking about maybe getting together for dinner. So there's some crazy stuff that happens there. And it's not, you know, it's great. If that's what you're into, it's great. It's a great vehicle to keep family informed on each other. And it's just a great kind of neutral space for that. Posting pictures, comments. You know, some people use it to just put their political views and thoughts on there, and other people place comments on that, or whatever's going on in their life.
And a lot of that obviously could be done through email as well. Just send out an email if you're trying to keep up to date with all of your friends or family. Yep.
One nice thing about the blog, though, is it gives you good history, and it's all right there. You can scroll back, and then it starts archiving by month, and then it archives by year. And so you've got it all kind of in one place, and it doesn't cost you anything to put it all up there. It's all hosted on somebody else's server at their expense. So it's a lot of fun. And again, you know, the other side is the professional development with like LinkedIn, and some people blog professionally. And often employers will look at that, you know, when they're interviewing candidates. If they want to do a little search on them, they'll see if they've got any MySpace page, Facebook, any professional networking, and kind of get some information about this person.
So there have been a number of articles, Kev, about that in the Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, you know, they're in college, they've got MySpace, Facebook, all these sites.
Posting and all their party pictures
on
there.
And so they go into an interview and they say, you know, they go show up in the nice suit and tie and they're professional and well put together.
Put on their game face.
You know, if there's a candidate, a serious candidate, the employer searches for them on Google.
Yep.
And that MySpace page shows up with whatever.
What were they doing last Friday?
And, you know, sometimes it's not always, you know, maybe it's just a party or some other things, but it's, you know, something to consider. And those pages can stick around for a long time.
They can. And then they'll go into like some archive. And the thing is, somebody throws a picture on there and somebody else grabs the picture and it becomes a part of. So you don't really have a whole lot of control once it's out there.
Well, Kev, here's another one here. Microsoft. We've talked about the perception, the negative perception of Vista.
Mm-hmm.
We won't discuss today whether or not that's justified, but Microsoft has reportedly added 6 more months of the free Vista downgrade.
Oh, interesting.
So
it was going to cut off originally end of the year. Is that correct?
Yeah, originally the previous deadline was January 31, 2009, and this is they're talking about going through July 31, 2009.
Okay.
So, something to consider. It, you know, there's the Vista downgrade rights that you can downgrade to XP if you buy a new computer with Vista on it and it's not working for you, or if you're just too used to going to use an XP. So, looks like they're talking about extending that. So, we'll have to wait and see. I'm sure there will be more official announcements about that later. How about this one, Kev?
I got a funny one, too, when you're done. Hopefully, it's not the same one.
The toxic fumes from Mac Pros?
Nope, that's not it.
Okay. Apple is investigating claims published in a leading French newspaper that its computers emit a toxic odor containing chemicals, including the cancer-causing benzene.
Ooh.
Apple has not denied the accusations. Its spokesman, Bill Evans, told Macworld the company had not found any evidence to support the claim, but Apple would continue to investigate.
And in the meantime, are they distributing face masks to protect you while you're using your MacBook? Might be a good idea.
Well, it doesn't say anything about that.
They're all being sold with gas masks, all the new ones. That's too bad.
So, and, you know, it just to kind of go along with that, it sort of leads into another thing that, you know, there's a lot of different things, different products, chemicals that go into making computers. And so when you're done with it, don't just toss it in the garbage.
Yep.
There are plenty of places that will take it, either that they'll take it to try to fix it up and reuse it or break it down and recycle it.
Yeah, I mean, you got a couple fronts here. Generally, if somebody gets rid of a computer, there's still working parts, and some places can actually use those parts to make, you know, take several non-working machines and make a working machine and donate it. The other thing is to, yes, make sure it all gets disposed of properly. A lot of that stuff in its raw form can be recycled. So you want to make sure that happens. An easy way to do that, you know, bring it to Goodwill.
Yeah, Goodwill's a good one. There's another one called, they're new, and it's a local guy, actually, out of Overijssel.
Mm-hmm.
You Waste Not, Want Not. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
I forget what the guy's name is, Jim or James, something or another. It's a locally owned one. And
what does he do with it? What does it say?
Breaks it down and recycles it.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, it was in the Sentinel about a couple weeks ago. E-Waste Not, Want Not.
Let me take a look.
So they'll, that's a new thing. So it's kind of cool. But yeah, if you can't get a hold of them, there's always Goodwill. And, always check with your church or other organizations too. A lot of times they'll take old computers. But the one thing you do want to consider when getting rid of an old computer is any personal information you might have on there. Because with all credit cards and everything else, social security numbers that could be on your computer, definitely not something you want to have in the wrong hands. Find any info there, Kev?
Was that like a web address? I mean, I'm finding a lot of references, but nothing local.
I don't know. It's a newer business, so, you know, he might not have everything up and running yet. So.
All right. Well, gives you something to go for.
Cartridge, okay. I think Cartridge World, if you call them, they've got a, you can drop off there, yeah.
Oh,
there's
good.
A small fee for some of the things, but.
Sure.
Give us a call here if you're listening, 395-1450. You're listening to the Computer Guys here on WHTC Wednesday afternoons, 12:30 to 1. Happy to help out. If you've got any questions about your computer
or got one
technology
for you.
In general.
Okay. So, we got to talk about Google and what they're doing. There's always something new. This is kind of interesting. They, you got the same story.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to say it, and then you can fill in details. It's a new product from Google Labs. And it involves Gmail. Basically, the product is called Mail Goggles. And the whole point of this is to maybe prevent you from sending an email at a time when you probably shouldn't be sending an email. Something that would be embarrassing potentially, you know, time when you may not be sober. The way it works is it asks you a series of mathematical problems before you're allowed to send the message during the hours that have been appointed, to be not quite right. So it's an option that's not turned on by default, but you can kind of go up to the beaker at the top of your Gmail and enable Mail Goggles. By default, Mail Goggles is only active late at night, on the weekend, active late night on the weekend, as that is the time when you're most likely to need it. Once enabled, you can adjust when it's active in the general settings.
And if you continue to flunk the tests, there should be a feature that dials a help number for you.
The help number?
You know, it's on the one hand, it's kind of a funny thing. On the other hand, it's kind of like, is anyone honestly going to use this service?
I would probably think so. Yeah, as being someone who's not done this or had a problem with this, I don't know. But I'm sure that the reason they're doing this is it's fairly common.
Well, Google sent, there are a lot of, I think a lot of people would wish that there was a queue.
Recall.
A recall for sending emails, maybe. You fire off one, you're angry at your boss,
even like 5 minutes. Often it'll be like a small, maybe half hour. A half hour window where it's like, whoa, take that back.
Well, I'll tell you.
Didn't really want to send it.
I'll tell you an example, Kev, of a mistake I made one time.
Okay.
This was at a time when AT&T was going through and changing their mail settings. You know, we get a ton of calls. People use AT&T. All of a sudden, they can't send email. Well, I had been going through and troubleshooting this and fixing this on so many different people's computers. And the process was you took the messages out of the outbox and put them into drafts. Mm-hmm. And then you went through and made all the changes. And then when you're done, you went to drafts and sent them. So I was in the habit of doing this over and over, and I was working on somebody's computer. We're working on it together for a business, and I got their email working again. And out of habit, I went to the drafts and I started sending them for them because I had been doing this over and over. And immediately, as soon as I hit send, I realized, you know what? I shouldn't have done that because these weren't in the outbox. And it was as soon as you click send, you know, you couldn't fast enough disconnect the computer. And, you know, I told the guy, I said, I accidentally just sent this. And he kind of looked at me and said, oh. And it was a complaint that they were responding to from one of their customers. And they hadn't finished it. So I, you know, that's the only time that I know of that I've sent an email that immediately you go, oh, boy, I really wish I hadn't done that. Although, Google, what do they call it? Google goggles.
Mail goggles.
Mail goggles. Mail would goggles. Not have probably helped at that point.
No. That's one where you just need a little callback feature. Or maybe like you just turn on a little timer. So when you hit send, it'll go.
Because once you send it,
30
email,
minutes,
man, it's
bam,
pretty
it's
much
gone.
Instant.
That's
so.
Right.
That was, and you know, they weren't upset, so no damage was done. Yeah. But I was a little embarrassed from having done that. Let's go ahead and take a phone call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Yeah, I have a question about emails. I was told, you know, I get some from friends and relatives, the emails that, you know, send this to 4 or 10 other people and you'll have a wish come true or something. I was told that those are really bad, that they can really infect your computer. Is that true?
Well, sometimes yes and sometimes no. You know, if it's just a harmless thing where it's just text in there and it says, you know, you'll, you know, do this and you'll get $1 million, it's probably nothing more than a silly chain letter.
Yeah.
But sometimes they'll include attachments. And you know how you see the little the paperclip looking icon a lot of times as an attachment? And a lot of times that's how the virus will get in, if there is one. So if you see something like that, maybe better not to open it. But, you know, not all of those messages have viruses in them.
Yeah, well, some of them are just, you know, nothing to do with money or anything.
Sure,
yeah. Have a good day and all this. But.
And sometimes they're just looking for active email addresses. So if, you know, it kind of goes out and makes some circulation, somebody grabs that list of addresses that it's been sent to and knows to send you spam in the future.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you probably, it's not a huge deal, but you might get more junk mail as a result of it.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Yep. Bye-bye.
I remember, Kev, back in the late 90s, when email was starting to become quite popular,
mm-hmm.
and people were first signing up for email addresses, all that stuff would go, it'd make the rounds like crazy.
I know.
You know, if you forward this on, you'll get a Microsoft will send you $1 million.
Because it was always they're testing some
right.
new
Microsoft,
system.
Yeah, is testing their new email system. And you know, we joke about it. We actually have had people who seriously thought that they had one from some of these chain letters. So,
yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
But now, you know, a lot of times in order to help prevent viruses coming through email, it is a good idea to have an antivirus. And if you want to even take it one step further, a good anti-spyware program on the computer. Kev, how about this? Would you like it if you had a battery in your laptop that could charge in 10 minutes?
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Well, Toshiba has unveiled a battery prototype that offers a 90% charge capacity in just 10 minutes.
That's not bad.
Yeah, the supercharged ion battery, known as the SCIB, is capable of handling 5,000 to 6,000 recharge cycles.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, compared to the typical 500 offered by standard lithium-ion batteries.
That's exciting.
The new battery is composed of a durable material that offers a high level of thermal stability and prevents overheating.
You know, and that not only seems to be important for, you know, laptops and other personal electronics, but that's something that could really be attractive to electric cars. You know, one, you've got a lot of recharge cycles, and two, when you cut down that charge time, you make it realistic that you could essentially pull into something like a gas station and recharge your battery 90% within a handful of minutes. So that's exciting. I like seeing that that happen. I know Sony had a little MP3 player. I think it was called the Bean or something. This thing had great battery life, 50, 60 hours. And they had a feature where you could charge it for 15 minutes and it would take you'd get about 3 hours of use out of it. So, you know, if you're ready to head out running or something like that and you're like, oh, shoot, I forgot to charge it, you know, 15-minute charge and you're good to go for a couple hours. So, yeah, it's cool to see that.
Well, Kev, look for that in the future. Obviously, that's just a prototype at this point, but that's how it starts. Also, we have an email here. Actually, this came to our Podomatic account here.
Wow, never checked that one.
Well, sometimes we it actually gets delivered here to the computer guys. Hey, guys, I've been having problems lately with my cordless mouse. The pointer slows way down or just stops altogether. I have replaced the batteries in both mouse and keyboard. I've had this computer for about 8 months now. It was built by a friend and not bought at a store. Until recently, it has been working just fine. Thanks for your help, and that's from Mike.
You might want to check for any potential interference between the receiver and the mouse. One thing you could try and do is put that receiver a little bit closer to your mouse and see if that makes a difference. Sometimes that happens where there'll be some new electronic that generates interference and kind of causes that to be erratic or to, you know, not log certain clicks. See if moving it closer makes a difference. If so, you can look to either eliminate that interference or, you know, just try and get those devices closer. Move it up to the other side of your desk or something like that. Or just, you know, you can always try reinstalling the device too. Sometimes even moving it, if it's a USB, moving it to a different USB port will kind of make it do a small reinstallation, and that can make the difference. So a couple things for you to try. Hopefully that works for you.
And if not, try it on another computer.
Yep.
You could always try unhooking it and plugging it into another computer.
Depending on the quality of the mouse, too, that can make a difference. Some of the low-end ones, like I've seen a handful of cordless mice that are pretty cheap, they just don't work well at all. They're very erratic, and, you know, sometimes it won't work from one side of the computer to the other, so on like a laptop. You know, so, kind of a piece of junk.
We've seen that with some of the Chinese knockoffs where yeah, you put the USB receiver on one side of the laptop, and it doesn't even go far enough to the other side.
You got
to
kind of put the cable around the other side.
What's the point of having cordless if, you know?
Yeah, it's got to be within, like, 5 inches. So,
well, Kev, we've got another phone call coming in here, and we should have time just for one quick call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. This is Ron calling. I had a question. Windows Vista, is it really the new thing out there? Have they figured it out to get all the kinks out of it, or should people just stick with what they have for now and wait till the end of the year when something else updates or comes out? And thank you.
Sure, yeah, thanks for the call there, Ron. We'll answer that one off there here since we're just about out of time. I'd say it comes down to a few things. Personal preference. Hey, you know, some people really like XP. If it works for you, sure. Just know that it's not going to last forever.
Yeah.
As far as the getting the kinks out, well, I don't know that they'll ever have that, whether it's Microsoft or Apple or anyone. But Vista, you know, it does pretty good most of the time, I'd say. There are a few complaints that we have, obviously.
Yeah, but for the average home user, those complaints are minimal. I mean, really, we've both been running at home for, man, as long as it's been out, pretty much.
Yep.
And I don't have any complaints with it. At home, it's just fine. You know, sometimes I have some issue with my laptop when I'm going in and out of various networking environments, but that's probably not something most people are going to do. So, you know, for the most part, I would say it's great. Go for it. You know, I just read an article the other day, as it's been almost 2 years here. It is more secure than XP. That's just the way it's designed. So that's one thing to consider. Number two, reliability. You know, it's about on par. It's if it's on a good system with good hardware, it's going to be reliable for you. Networking, it is more safe in the networking environment, and also compatibility. Almost everything that they're making now is compatible, so that's not really an issue. So it comes down to preference, but you don't have to stay away. If the music means the end of another show, if we weren't able to take your call today, give us a call during the week. 394-4940 is our number. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland. 399 East 32nd is our office. If you weren't able to check us out today, check out the podcast. Type WHTC into the Apple iTunes Music Store, and you can get our podcast and listen to it on the go.
That's right. Well, thanks again, and have a great week.